high velocity of air moving around this sort of chalky debris will find its way to come up through the floor tiles and essentially into your IT equipment. So yeah, there's a lot of my personality which is in the business, but you also can't be too narrow-minded and you need to take input from others as well. Normally, I think a supplier would probably say, okay, we're not going to do audits on that site anymore because it takes up a lot of resources and the client doesn't even read it.
How are you doing?
Nice. I'm all right, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nice coming in to see you on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It's less busy, isn't it?
Definitely.
You know, phones ain't ringing, emails ain't going, my temperature's a lot lower. So it's always good to have a bit more of a chilled, relaxed conversation.
You seem to have a flashing light on your AR glasses.
Yeah.
For some reason. Should I be worried about that?
You should be worried, Mark, yes.
Just sort of eerily targeted or pinpointed for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to... I was thinking of kicking this off with attention to details.
Mm.
What does that mean, the first thing?
I think it means...
What does that mean to you?
Yeah, attention to detail is going to have its own sort of value to each person, really. Everyone's going to say they have attention to detail to some extent, but, you know, your version of attention to detail could be very different to mine. Broadly, it does vary. You know, if we're talking about the actual cleaning itself and the scope of works that we do, the attention to detail needs to be very high, especially in environments that we're working in. We need to be able to communicate to the clients exactly what we've done, how we've done it, have we done it safely, was it the most efficient way of doing it, you know, and that builds over time. You know, if you asked me that 5 years ago, the attention to detail of what I've got now versus 5 years ago is going to be very different. But I mean, there's all different levels. I mean, there's image, attention to detail, vehicles arriving on site. Are they clean? Are they tidy? You know, uniform. Is everybody in uniform? Is everybody using the right PPE? Even down to the podcast or the images that we use, we make sure that we've got to use the right images because I want to communicate to prospects and clients that this is attention to detail. You know? And often I see a lot of other suppliers, I won't say sort of cleaning suppliers, we're talking about any type of suppliers, and there's things that they do which I probably wouldn't do. And I often look at people or bigger suppliers, tier one, tier two suppliers, and I take a good look on what they do. And then there's so many situations where we're engaging with a client or we've mobilized with a new client or we've taken on a new contract, or we're engaging with a new contract, or we're talking to property management or facilities management, and they often don't really know what's happening on their site when it comes to sort of clean and hygiene. So it could be down to they've asked for like a data hall to be cleaned, and we'll say to them, okay, what is the scope of works? And they sometimes don't know the scope of works. They don't know exactly what's been done. They don't know the frequency. They don't know the materials, equipment. They don't know how many operatives have been on there. Is it out of hours? Do you have to work the weekends? These are the type of things where you need to be vigilant and on your service delivery, because there's so many times that we engage with people and they don't know. So if you're going to work with C4, we'd like to make sure that you know exactly what's happening.
Is your service delivery fulfilled enough, or are they asking you to reduce it in any way?
How do you mean?
To save costs.
I mean, that's usually agreed before we've even mobilised. So it could be they wanted to increase. You know, they feel like the level or the standard of cleaning isn't quite met their needs. We would communicate the best method on how to do that. We'd give them some ideas. We'd give them some sort of indication, which is like an audit. We often audit and survey buildings before we even mobilise a contract, and we'll say, look, these are our findings. Are you aware of this is how your building looks? Maybe it could be the complete opposite. Maybe they use too much resources, and we say, look, we actually don't think you need that much resources on this size of a building or this level of traffic. You know, you could look at saving costs in other areas as well. So those type of details need to be confirmed before we mobilize. And you'll be really surprised on how often a procurement process goes ahead or a contractor swapped in and swapped out, and those sort of details haven't really been communicated very well. So you're essentially just using the same method to try and get a different result. You'll find that some data centers just don't want any cleaning inside their critical environment altogether. And then you'll find some that they want to have a deep clean sort of every 90 days because it's very important. that the hygiene and the contamination levels are quite low. So there is a massive variation. You get some data centers who want their subfloors to be cleaned. You get some data centers who don't. You get some who want the internal of their cabinets to be cleaned. You get some who don't. Really important that these type of details are addressed and agreed before you even move forward.
What kind of contamination is affected by, did you say subfloors? Is that
Underneath? Yeah, so there's variations of designs in data centers, and you'll find that a lot of data centers will have a floor void, which is a raised floor for air plenum, and the cold conditioned air would be pushed underneath the ground, and there'll be variations of vented floor tiles, which allows the cold air to come up through into the data hall to manage the temperature. It's really important that this is cleaned as well, because you'll find that a lot of contamination debris do build up underneath the floor. It can have an impact on distribution of airflow as well. And also, if you're a typical thing that we see, sometimes the concrete floors are not sealed, so it's very chalky. And if you've got a high velocity of air moving around, this sort of chalky debris will find its way to come up through the floor tiles and essentially into your IT equipment. We've opened up cabinets before, and we've looked especially at the bottom of the cabinets, and you'll see a lot of debris being built up because obviously dust likes to settle, likes to settle down, especially sort of low level as well. And you can see so much contamination just building up. That could just be down to the frequency not being good enough. The clean might not be good enough. The customer or the data center may deem in cleaning inside the racks is too much of a high risk, and they would rather leave it than actually have it cleaned. So there's loads of variations on why that sort of contamination can build up. The audits are usually born from experiences. So like a risk assessment, for example, you'll find that a risk assessment needs to be updated if something's gone wrong. And it's the same thing with an audit, really, is you're essentially reviewing areas which potentially could have gone wrong, and then you want to make that your standardized service. So the reason why we started to do audits is because the beginning stages of C4 was working in void properties, and you would have a inventory clerk review the building or the property at great detail and then report that back to the client. And that was a real pain in the ass for C4, because we would believe that we've done a really, really good job, and then this specialist comes in and starts picking your clean apart. And then what we've done is we use those sort of negative situations to turn it into a positive situation and say, okay, why don't we take the data on where things have gone wrong and then use that as a standardized approach on how we can make things better. Now, yes, we're working in data centers and corporate environments now, so it's a completely different environment, but the principles are still the same. So essentially what we do is we look at areas which are a risk, and we implement that into our audit, standard audit process, and we make sure that those are reviewed and we score it. We will have like audits, and we will have service delivery reports on everything that we do. And we are often told that we are evidencing part of their building what they've never even seen before, or they've never thought to look at. And I always take that as a compliment, because I'm essentially showing them that our audit system is very, very detailed. So if we can show you areas that you've never even thought to check, then it just gives you confidence that the areas that you know need to be done, we're on top of. We could do an audit and we could be like, do you know what? This isn't good enough. And we have to be really transparent with the client. So we have to say to the client, look, here's your audit. It's quite a lengthy page. We do summarize it in sort of a one or two pages with some sort of photographic evidence or something to support the audit. But we're quite transparent, and we'll say, look, we're actually not really happy in particular areas. It could be down to us not delivering a good service and we need to improve. It could be down to resources. It could be down to the behavior of the building has changed. They may have increased their footfall. by like 50%. It's having an impact on their building. It's something that needs to be addressed. But the main thing is that we communicate these findings. Often what you'll find is that suppliers won't communicate very well. And that's usually the breakdown of a relationship because there's no communication. Whereas if we are providing service delivery reports and audit reports and we're highlighting areas that are positive and negative, it bridges that gap of communication and they feel comfortable and they feel they're in trusted hands because we do a lot to increase and support that communication process throughout the length of the contract. You have to break down the situation from the stem. So the end of the situation is it's not going well and something isn't right. But then you need to work backwards and try and work out why isn't it working right. It could be down to the operational times of cleaning. It's not working because the operational times of cleaning is not in line with how the behavior of the building is. It could be down to training. It could be down to frequency. So these are all areas that need to be reviewed, investigated. And then once you start to understand what the problem is, then you need to start putting in measures to increase. And then that could be having a conversation with the client and saying, look, the behavior of your building's changed. You know, you have a completely different shift pattern now. Your footfall increases in the evening and these areas are failing. You know, we need to add some operatives in the evening. You know, we have recently had a situation where we've done a critical deep cleaning data center, which was about 1,300 square meters. It's relatively big. And they added so many cabinets in between each clean, it took a toll on our resources. So we actually had to end up staying longer to ensure that the clean was completed to the right standard. But that's because there was just more IT equipment in the building. You know, we had to raise that to the client and explain to them there may be some areas that we need to readdress because the resources that we've got during the time of when we're able to complete the clean, it's not in line anymore. Now, the only way that can go wrong is when you don't communicate your findings to the client. And it's more or less impossible for you to have a good situation without the communication. So that's the reason why we have these audit reports, because it triggers a conversation for improvement. Seriously, like even when we onboard new staff and then we have to go through the process with them, I can see like their brains a bit like, wow, this is a little bit hard for me to comprehend right now. Or the client sometimes, I called up a client maybe about 6 weeks ago. And I said, are you happy with the service? She said, yeah, the service is brilliant. I've got no flaws with the service. I said to her, do you read the audit reports that we submit to you every 90 days? She said, no. She said, honestly, I don't. And I said, why don't you read them? Like, we spend a lot of time to do them. She says, well, I know that you guys are on top of it. And I feel like we're at a stage where I don't really need to review the audits. If you was a new supplier, or I haven't worked with you before, then I might be a bit more diligent. But I just feel like you guys have got it completely under control. Now, normally, I think a supplier would probably say, okay, we're not going to do audits on that site anymore because it takes up a lot of resources and the client doesn't even read it. But our integrity is more important and we have to keep supplying those audits. It also backs up our findings as well. You know, if there was damage or there was some sort of issue, property management issue, we highlight this to the client. So if the client ever asks us, you know, was you aware of a situation? We can say, yeah, it's been identified in your audit reports for the last 3 or 4 audits.
You know, looking around the office, you know, you've got things well placed, everything's clean. There's a variety of dustbins that I don't know what to use sometimes. Is that all very methodical, or?
So how much of my personality is in the business? Is that the question?
More or less, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, a lot. I'd like to say quite a lot. But you also need to be able to take inspiration from others as well. But looking at sort of some of my behaviour patterns, I think there's a lot of that which is integrated into the business as well. Like things to be relatively neat and tidy without being sort of cliche. But even down to the office, you know, I'll move things about and I say, does that work? Does that not work? You know, and it comes down to even like our branding, even the things that we put out, even down to some of the posts that we put, even the words that we use. I like to make sure that, you know, there's this sense of me involved in there. The staff as well, our team, they're an extension of me, I guess, aren't they? You know, so even down to the quality of the uniforms that we use, you know, that's a lot of the stuff is what I'd probably wear, you know, if I was out at ground level again. I guess some of the uniform that we've implemented is probably because that was something I would like to wear. You know, make sure we've got like breathable materials, you know, quite active wear, that sort of stuff, because that's something I'd probably wear. So yeah, there's a lot of my personality which is in the business, but you also can't be too narrow-minded and you need to take input from others as well. So I mean, ultimately, it's important that you grow, but you keep your brand authentic as well, and you grow. And I appreciate you listening today and asking me these questions. I look forward for you to hit me up with some new questions.
Thanks a lot, Courtney.
All right, mate.
See you soon.
Did I do what you wanted me to do?